Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and proclaim every Sunday, and I pray every day of our lives, that Jesus gave us three commands that sum up all of the Scriptures. By His own words, He said these things, that we are to love God, love others, and go. And in that may we find ourselves every day. We are called the Heart of Christ Church for that very reason, that we would love God, love others, and go, bringing salvation unto all who would hear, and those who don't, we're going to plant seeds, till soil, or water the ground. Can I get an amen, church? Well, today we're continuing on in our sermon series, and I'm hoping to land the plane this week, but we all know how that works with Pastor Rich. So I would like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, because as you are turning to the book of Hebrews, you're going to be in chapter 4. I'm going to remind us that the name of our sermon is The Family of God, and part 4 is entitled A Place of Rest. And from the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter, we are going to read the word, but I want to remind you that we've already been in the book of Hebrews. We were in Hebrews chapter 3 last week, looking at some of the pieces of Scripture in there. And I pray that you read that Scripture at home when you were redoing the sermon, going back over it, because it speaks of a people in there who did not enter God's rest. Okay? It speaks of a people who were cast out from God's rest. And they were God's own people. They were the Israelites, because they refused to listen to God and go into the promised land. So He led them around the desert for 40 years until that generation was gone, except two, because two believed and wanted to go in. But the rest said no. So they did not enter God's rest, for they were disobedient. The entire generation perished in the wilderness. And we don't want to be that generation. Can I get an amen, church? We want to be that generation that finds peace. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. If we are in Christ Jesus, if we are part of the family of God, we will find rest. And that rest comes to us through our Savior. From the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 16, we're reading the entire chapter. Let us read the word of our Lord. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as He said, as I swore in my oath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His words are finished from the foundations of the world, He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from His. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall, though following the same example of disobedience, or through following, excuse me. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. I want you to think about what it means to enter that peace, to enter that rest. Because all of us in the family of God, through God's decree, find security. One of the greatest things we need to understand, we cannot have peace, we cannot have rest without security. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about a padlock on your door. I'm talking about security in our being. We are constantly looking for that which will hold us, that which will define us, that which is that everlasting thing that nothing else will do. And there's only one, and His name is Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves in Him, we find the security of God. We find that if you remember your Bible teachings, that Adam failed to provide and protect for the woman. For the serpent tempted them, and he was there in the garden, and it was his job, it was his call to provide and protect. He was God's image on earth. And when the serpent came and tempted Eve, did he cut off the head of the snake? No. He listened to the words, and he himself partook. He did not defend the woman. He did not provide for her. He allowed someone else to deceive him. We need to remember, God will never allow deception to come upon us. He will protect us from it. For His hope, His family is secure. Jesus has said, and I believe, no one can snatch you from my hand. That is a promise of God, that if you walk in Him, there is security. It is the one thing each and every one of us look for. I think it's so amazing right now. I don't know if any of you are out there checking out the internet. You know, your pastor checks out the internet a lot. I don't watch TV anymore because that is so fake, it's unreal. But I go on the internet and I check things out and I research things. And I was checking out a young lady, and she is challenging the women of this day. All these women want security in the man that they want to have, but they want to define what that man is supposed to be because they don't like, quote, toxic masculinity. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is about as toxic masculinity as you're ever going to get. Because when He says no, He means no. And when He says thou shalt not, it means thou shalt not. We need to understand, we are created men in the image of God. We are here to provide and protect for our women no matter what they might think. And there's a lot, and ladies, I'm not talking to you, right? Because you're all biblical ladies. And you're agreeing with everything I'm saying right now. Because you all know you don't want to control your man. He wears the pants in the family, right? Yeah, I got one over here admitting the truth. Beg pardon? He better wear the pants. You got it. And that goes for you out there as well. Because, boy, we want it our way, but we want the good. If you want the good, you got to go to God, because only God is good, which means you have to follow His commands. We have to understand, if you want security, you got to give up your stuff, because no man is supposed to be a soy boy. We are to be men, conquerors. We are to be men of strength, men of provision, men of protection. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I had two ladies here in this church today that came with me, my wife and my granddaughter. I will die to protect them. That's the end of the sentence. And that's what every man in here should be, and that's what every woman in here better want. Because if that man's not willing to die for you because, oh, it might hurt, then you don't have a man beside you. I don't know what you have. And we need to understand, God calls us, I'm about to trip over my cords, God calls us to be men of faith. But ladies, He also calls you to be women of faith too, doesn't He? He says that there is a way unto you that you are to act, that we are to submit to our husbands. Now I'm going to ask the ladies, does that mean you let him do everything he wants to do? I got one no over here. How about here? Is everybody? Okay, every female head right now is nodding no. And you know what? They're right. Do you know what Eve's position was before the fall? Helpmate. That's what we interpret it as. But the name that he gave her is Azirkenegdo, which means God's messenger. God calls himself Israel's Azirkenegdo. We need to understand, ladies, you're supposed to help us keep a level head. You see, you work out of the right side of your brain. We work out of the left side of our brain. Of course, the way things happen today, most men don't have a brain. Because we have been so inundated by feminism that we're not allowed to think. Well, I'm calling on all men, and all women, to get in your proper brain, left or right. Because I need a woman who thinks like a woman who can keep me balanced. Because that's what helpmate means. I can't do the things on the right side of my brain. God knew that, so He created woman that she would balance me out. The two shall become one flesh. We perfect one another. And do you know what Christ says about the church? He says that the church is His bride. So guess what we do with Jesus? We help balance Him out. How does that grab you as the church of Jesus Christ, that He looks upon you to help balance Him out? He suffered. We just read it. Yet He was without sin. He was tempted in every manner that we were, yet He is without sin. Did He need us? No. Does He want us? Yes. Because it's a love relationship. Love is a choice. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling. And God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a security that each and every one of us needs to remember and walk in every day of our lives. And Jesus said another word. Turn to your Bibles, in your Bibles, to the book of John in chapter 14. This is right out of the book of John. Jesus' words to us from the book of John in chapter 14. One verse, that's all I'm going to have you read, is one verse with me. One verse, John 14. And we're going to read 27, and we're all going to read it aloud, okay? I'll wait until I see everybody's there. And let us read together the words of the Lord spoken to us from the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be fearful. That word fear, how many of you recognize every song we sang today had the word fear in it? There's a reason that Pastor chose those songs, and it's not because I chose them. The Lord showed them to me, that word fear, it was in every song we sang. And I didn't see it until I was playing them and putting this together in my mind and in my heart. And it was like, oh my goodness, God, you know when I'm preaching, and wow, this all comes together. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Satan is a liar. Can everybody say yes to that? Satan is a liar. He has done nothing but kill, steal, and destroy since his time here on earth. And that's what he will do until the day he himself is thrown into the lake of fire and destroyed eternally. But we need to remember, when we fear Satan, before God, he defines Satan's fear differently than we do. We define it as being afraid. But God says, whoa, fear from the evil one Fear from the evil one is false evidence appearing real. Because we live in this world where he controls things. We live in this world where he can make people come against us. He can live in this world where he's able to manipulate people to the bad and call it good. Are we there yet? And when we walk in the good, we're called haters. We're called bigots. We're called all these things. But the reality is God calls us his children. And we need to remember that above all things. That's the security of Jesus Christ. Because Satan's a liar. And before heaven, when we have accepted Jesus Christ, all those lies are cast out. Yeah, but you messed up 15 years ago. And Jesus says, and it's gone. Because it's been covered in the blood. And nothing uncovers it. You and I need to remember that. That is our eternal security. That God has said, he who cannot forget anything has said, I shall remember it no more. Remember, we don't serve a God who has Alzheimer's. We serve a God who chooses not to remember because we believed in his Son. That's called what? Grace. And that's where we live. That is the greatest portion of security in our lives, is the grace of God. He cannot reject his own grace because he is God. And once bestowed, it's there forever. And you and I walk in that very truth. Therefore, in God's family, we should be people of comfort. We should be one speaking words of peace. We should be bringing those points of rest to others. When we see someone who out there is weary, when someone is fearful, we need to come alongside, just as Jesus comes alongside of us, and each and every one of us needs to bear up the burdens of one another. Is that not what the Scripture tells us? You know, it's amazing. I look at the church and I think about how many people that come to the church don't get plugged into the church, and they're out there walking their lives weekly by themselves. You know, they might have one or two people walking with them. They might have one person that they tell all the different things to. And yet you have an entire church here that wants to love on you, that wants to help you succeed, to see you become successful. Do you know that is my call? My call is not to become successful myself. I'm already where God wants me to be. So I have no higher calling. But I know you do. And I want to see you succeed. I want you to understand that there is nothing that Satan can say to you that will pull you away from the destiny God has for you unless you allow it. And that's where I got to walk with you. That's where I need to empower you. And empowering you, I pray you empower one another. Can I get an amen? Because we are to be those people of comfort. We are to find that which is needed within our body and supply it. You know, how many of us eat junk food all day long? No, we eat some meat and we eat some veggies and, you know, yeah, we get into the ice cream from time to time. You know, maybe even a piece of cake or two. But we take care of ourselves. And that too is part of what we are. For when we gather together, we are partaking of a spiritual reality that becomes part of who we are. Without that spiritual reality, something's missing. But it has to start where? With God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? The second thing I want us to remember that is so important within the family of God is that in God's family there is acceptance. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. We all know where I'm going. John chapter 3. Beginning in the 16th verse. John chapter 3, beginning in the 16th verse, reading through verse 21. For thus saith the Lord, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus here is telling each and every one of us, he is going to take us where we are. I want you to understand, I'm not talking the type of acceptance that this world wants us to ask, is asking for us. Because this world is telling us that we are to accept sin. Am I right? And Jesus says, no, I won't accept sin, but I'll accept you where you are, but you've got to come into the light. You've got to come out of the darkness. Isn't that what we just read? We have got to come out of the darkness. The things of this world must pass. The old is gone. The new must come. I've been preaching about this stuff for the last 5 weeks. And here we see that as we come into that place of God's rest, there is acceptance. He will accept you where you are, but you cannot stay there. You must come into the light, which means what? We will be transformed. If we are truly in Christ, and if you truly want to have freedom, if you truly want to have power in this world, if you truly want to find yourself, you will give up yourself and find life. Because all we carry is death all day long. But in Christ Jesus, he looks at us and he says, I know where you are and I accept you where you are, but you can't stay there. How many of you who are in Christ now, how many of you who are in Christ now have stayed in your sin? Now, we want to answer that truthfully. We all have to say, yeah, I still got some of it, don't we? Every one of us has to make that claim. Because how many of you are perfect? Yeah, none of us. But we serve a Savior who is. And through progressive sanctification, which you know I have preached since the cows came home, and they ain't home yet, I will preach that until the day that we all get to heaven, because it is still progressive. God is changing us moment by moment. Why? Because if he changed us all at once, we couldn't handle it. We wouldn't know who we are. We wouldn't be human. We would have no free will. But as he changes us little by little, we end up giving up our free will. No, not giving it up, altering it. That our will becomes his will, because his will is supplanting ours, and we see the good therein. When you and I walk in the acceptance of Christ, we begin to accept him as he is and become like him. Why? Because he is the perfect image of God in flesh. Can I get an amen? That is where we're walking. And that's where Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us to walk. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 3. The book of Acts, chapter 3. Because this is so important and it is so real and it really needs to be brought out at this time. Because there is so much being talked about and told in our world, in Christendom, that is wrong. And you know, a lot of people out there, they're going to say, well, who are you to say that those pastors are wrong? They're not preaching the word. Come on. When you're accepting abortion and gender fluidity and all this other stuff that is out there, you're not following the Lord. You're not a man or woman of God. You're a man or woman of this world. But hearken unto the word of the Lord in the third chapter of the book of Acts, beginning in the 19th verse. From verse 19, it says to us, Now, this is Peter's second sermon, and he's telling the people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that we can only find salvation through him. And they're like, well, what do we do? Here's what he says from verse 19. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing, rest, may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. Moses said, I got to make sure where I'm stopping. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you. And it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward also announce these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. We need to remember, what does it say there? Repent, turn from your wicked ways. We have to understand, God accepts us where we are, but he doesn't let us there because that is death. He brings us into life, and something has to change. And it's not him, it's us. You know, I think it's amazing. It says here that you know, there's a promise here. And folks are like, yeah, but this is talking about Israel. It's not talking about me. Well, I beg to differ with you, because the reality is it is talking about us. If you look here where it says, verse 20, hang on, I got to get my right chapter. There we go. Verse 25, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Who is that seed? Jesus. That seed is Jesus Christ. Did Jesus only pour out his blood unto the Gentiles? No. Did Jesus only pour out his blood unto Israel? No. Jesus poured out his blood unto all who would believe. It doesn't have anything to do with Israel. It doesn't have anything to do with Gentiles, because many Gentiles are not going to believe. Many of Israel are not going to believe. It has everything to do with what Abraham was, a man of what? Faith. We need to be men and women of faith, because in faith we are accepted. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We all need to understand that. And if we're willing to walk in faith, if we're willing to pick up that faith and say, God, you're right, and lay our stuff down, God will accept us where we are, but he's going to take you to where you need to be. You know, how many of you leave your house to go to the airport and wind up at the zoo? No, come on. I just saw a sign the other day. I passed a church, and I was going down to get Lily. And it says, and I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. It says on this church sign, is the road you're on going to get you to the destination you really want? How many of us are on the wrong road? How many of us take detours when we shouldn't? We need to walk that straight and narrow path. For wide is the path that leads unto destruction, but narrow is the road that leads unto salvation, and few find it. Because there's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he will accept you right where you are. And the last thing I want you to understand also is from John 3 and 17. We heard those words, and I got to come back to them. God did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it. But I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is coming once again, not unto salvation, but unto condemnation. For he will destroy all the wicked. because he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall rule with an iron scepter. He's not the lamb anymore. He's grown up. He's a big boy. And when he comes back, he's going to have his big boy britches on. Men, you getting me? Ladies, you hearing? May we be understanding there as well. Because we need to remember, as the church, the time is short. We have got to be people willing to go out there, comfort others, and bringing them in, accepting them where they are. I don't care where they are. Because none of us came in clean, did we? But praise Jesus, we were washed in the blood. And through that, our garments have been made white, white as snow. And may that righteousness guide our hearts. Because as we do, then we come to the last part, and that is the fact that in the family, we find comfort. We find that true hope. Because in that comfort, we realize that no matter what happens out here, we're okay. How many of you are okay? You know, we went on a prayer walk the other day, and Brother Wendell's laughing right now because that's right where my head went to when I was preparing this. We walked through the development, and everybody we went to talk to, and I'm not picking on you, if we went to your house, God bless you. All right? The reality was, everybody, and this is what's said in our world. Can we pray for you? Can we pray for you? And what do they say? Oh, we're good. Really? How many of you were good outside of Jesus Christ? Yeah, I didn't think so. How many of you are good outside of Jesus Christ? Yeah, and I know a couple of you are being smart right now because I can't see you raising your hand. But God can. We can't outsmart God. We can't lie to God. But we need to remember, this world thinks it's comfortable where it is. How many of you are comfortable in this world? I'm going to guarantee you right now, there's not one person in this congregation who is comfortable in this world. How many of you have air conditioning in your house? So you are not comfortable in this world. You had to manipulate it. So simple to prove. And y'all don't think of that stuff, do you? If you were comfortable in this world, it could be 90 degrees, 110 humidity, and you'd say, oh, I'm good. How many people are in eternal fire right now, and they're saying, I'm good? We need to understand, Jesus wants us to find an eternal comfort. He wants us to understand something from a biblical perspective. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to understand who God is and what He wants us to understand, what He wants us to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Verse 3 through 7. This is the Apostle Paul talking to us all. Here he's talking to the folks in Corinth. And please remember what Corinth was in its day. All right? Corinth was a cesspool in its day of not believing. I just can't get that word out of my mouth today. That is terrible. They were apostate. In all that they were, the number of gods they had in Corinth was unbelievable. But he says this word to the people in Corinth who are choosing Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort we which ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope is for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. We are to comfort one another just as God comforts us. When we see a brother or sister going through a trial, okay, we need to understand. We need to pick that brother or sister up. Can I get an amen, church? Because they're not to be there alone. Satan wants us alone because there he can attack us and he can harden our hearts and he can make us doubt and he can begin to spill lies into our being, and we believe them, we'll receive them, and we think something's wrong. I want you to understand right now, you're going to go through tough times. We know. What did we just read here? We're going to go through sufferings. Paul just said we're going to go through sufferings. But in our sufferings, we're to be comforted from others who have received comfort. Because we know that this suffering will not last. How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ has said he will not leave us, but he will give us peace. The Father has said that he will receive us unto himself. We understand that these things, these truths, I've spoken through them all the way through this sermon. They are the truth of God, and we have an eternity that is coming. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. You know, the song we sang, I wish I could change lyrics sometimes. You know what I mean? It said in that song that he beat the grave. Well, he didn't beat it. He didn't beat it. Because that ensues something a little different in our minds. That means it's still there. He didn't beat the grave. He defeated the grave. It is no more. Not for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And that ought to be a comfort to each and every one of your souls. Because we will die, we know that. But we only die in the flesh. Can I get an amen? Because we shall live forever and we're going to get a new body. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to glory in that because this one sucks. It is falling apart day by day. I'm watching it. How many of you get up in the morning and collect the hair off of your pillow? Yeah. Now, you younger people, you don't understand that. You will. But may we take comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ has overcome all things, and that as you have overcome, I have overcome. Now, I'm going to speak personally here, and for you folks out there, I'm really going to get personal here for just a moment. And God forgive me, Lord help me, and I hope you're ready for it. Two of you have suffered more than any of us in this room. How many people have you comforted? Many. For those of you out there who don't know, and we love this couple, and we all pray for them all the time, don't we? Whew. Come the first of the year, I'm a mess because I remember. I never forget, but come the first of the year, I really remember. They lost their daughter. She took her life because of the stuff in this world. They went through some pretty hard stuff. And we were there to comfort them. Now, we weren't perfect, and I'm going to tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you that. But we were the church, weren't we? We tried the best we could. How many of you knew what to say to Bob and Eva? We didn't. We had no idea. But just to be there and love you and hug you and let you cry, and for us to cry with you. And they went out in the world, and they are helping people who are going through the very same thing that they went through. That's the comfort I'm talking about. Has their pain gone? No. They're going to have it on this side until they see her again in glory. But that's a promise, and we all know it. And we're holding on to it because we know where she is. There are others here who've been through it on a different level. Can I get an amen? And we comfort one another. We are there for one another. Because Christ has been there for us. So I want you to remember this. This I hold dear in my heart, and it was so amazing because in closing on this, God wanted me to show you all this, and I pray that I'm worthy of it in bringing it to you. I would like you all to turn to 2 Kings. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Because it's how I'm closing this sermon series this day, 2 Kings chapter 6. In the family of God, we need to remember that God wants us to be responsible. God wants us to be encouragers. God wants us to be aware of family's needs. Because God has placed in us through His blessing that we are to be people who understand. God knows. He's put expectations on our hearts because God expects from us. God has placed forgiveness on our hearts because He has forgiven us. That God is an encourager unto the hope of our future. Amen. And we are to be encouragers. That there is discipline within the body of Christ because God is disciplined. He does not argue. His triune being is one. Can I get an amen? And so too are we to be one. We are to be a family of support just as God supports us, bringing all things to us. And that we are to be people of resolution, looking to fix the problems and move forward. Can I get an amen? Because that's what God did. That's what the entire Bible is all about, problems that God had to fix. Can I get an amen? We also know that God gives us an identity, that we are children of God. Remember we did all the who God says we are? How many of you were encouraged by that word? May it be so. We also now understand that God brings security, He brings acceptance, and He brings comfort on His level, the level of righteousness and holiness. But God wants you to see something here, and I want you to see something here, if it be possible. Because in the family of God, the main thing we are to rely and remember is God is our provider, God is our protector. He is the one who is for us, not against us. Can I get an amen, church? And He is God. Nothing can defeat Him. Nothing can stand in His way. He's going to allow us to live our lives with free will. How's that doing for you? May we surrender it to Him, and may His will become ours, because in that we'll find life. But I want you to remember, the devil wants you to fear. The devil wants you to be afraid. What is the devil's fear? What is the definition of the devil's fear? False evidence appearing real. From the book of 2 Kings in the 6th chapter, I want you to look at verses 15 through 17. This is the picture that the Lord gave me all the way back at the beginning of this when He was talking to me about where we're going and what I want my people to see. Because this world is coming against us, and this world wants us to think that we have lost. But what does God say here? From the 15th verse, we read these words. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Now I'm going to stop there, because I want you to think about what's going on here. There's 100 and some thousand men on chariots, horses, and on foot, surrounding this man, coming after him to defeat him. The servant gets up, and the master's already up, and he's looking. Does he look afraid? No. But the servant says, "What shall we do, master?" Remember, in this case, Jesus is the master. We're the servant, right? We're defeated already. It's just the two of us. How can we do anything about this? This is far greater than us. And look at the words of the prophet. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. We need to remember, greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. For we have already defeated the evil one. We just got to get through it. because Jesus Christ is our victory. Will the church say amen? Let us pray. Father God, we stand in that victory, for you have called us your children. And for those who are out there who want that victory over life now, to find life and to live life to the full measure, I pray, Lord, that they would come to that place of repenting, as we heard, and then seeking you in their lives, that you would be their Lord, that you would be their Savior, and that they would place their faith in you. For, Lord God, there is no other name under heaven nor in earth by which man may be saved except the name of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray this day, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.